Everyone, I'm very grateful to be here. My name's Linda. I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much. Truly grateful to be able to be of service here at this meeting today. And I have been on this as we were talking a little bit before we started. I have known some of you from, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, and it's wonderful. The wonderful thing about Zoom and I guess this opportunity is to get to see you and not just hear you on the phone. I used to be a largely phone meeting, one in-person meeting a week and largely phone meeting. So I just adore Zoom and this opportunity to see you. So, I really want to, so I have been in the program about 13 and a half years. I am maintaining about a 30 to 35 pound weight loss. So my top weight, I'm 5'4". My top weight was in the 150s. And I really consider myself a garden variety compulsive overeater. Did all the things, right? Stole food, tried diet. I was never a good dieter. They lasted 3 or 4 days, a week maybe, but I just, easily distracted, I guess, and on to the next thing. And so it was always, but I do remember stealing candy, stealing food when I was really young, trying to not make noise as I took food, in another room where people were not in. And just, all I can tell you is I had no idea I had an eating disorder. I was a compulsive overeater till much later, but I had the signs. So for me, the disease manifested itself in several ways, and I only want to spend a few minutes on this part. But it was often a way to take the edge off. I would, after whatever was going on in life, I would come home and food was the solution to just kind of, I used to say it just evened me out. And then it progressed. And then it became a way to oblivion. And then it became, come home, can't cope with whatever's going on at work, family. It became a way to basically food coma, pass out. And I again still did not know that there was something wrong with me. I kept thinking, well, when I have more time, I will figure this out. Whatever's going on, I will figure this out. And I used to say, it was kind of like a blunt instrument. Food for me has been and could be again a blunt instrument, right? So I will tell you that's the physical part. And the emotional part is that things were getting more and more uncomfortable. And I, at that point, just before OA found me, I was a supervisor. And I just remember thinking, I can't stand any of the people that work for me. They're all doing it wrong. They can't, they're not doing it. They're not, as we say, they're not following my script. And I knew that there, and I thought to myself, there's just something wrong here. And spiritually, grew up lo loving science, and if there wasn't data to support something, it really didn't exist. So religion and all of that, no concept of the distinction between religion and spirituality. And so, the wars, everything I saw on TV, it was all religion. I absolutely wanted no part of any of that. So I want to fast forward to 2010, and what happened to me is, thank goodness, for outreach, that I listened to a podcast, inadvertently downloaded a OA speaker podcast. And when I heard what that speaker did with food, I was astounded. I was stunned. And I thought to myself, that's what this is. I have this thing. I have this. And I can tell you, I dug in. I said, and I was, what I would say is I was really scared. And I was scared because I thought, oh God, what is this? What does this mean? I will tell you, lots and lots of shame. I have this thing, lots of shame. Didn't tell my husband about it for 6 weeks. Because, again, all about external appearances, all about what other people think. And how could I have this eating disorder? So the good news for me, and I am so grateful to my higher power and the people that helped me, is that I found a meeting online. And what by on online, I want to say it was the old days where all you could see was the text, the scrolling text in 2010 of people who were part of an OA meeting, which was fine for me because they didn't have a clue who I was. And I essentially found a sponsor, and within a month, and I was starting to work the steps. And the sponsor was like a go-getter. She's like, "Okay, we're going to work the steps. It's going to be a step. We're going to do a step a week." And I was like, "Okay," because you know what? Never heard of al I had barely heard of Alcoholics Anonymous. Really didn't understand what it was. So the very I am just so grateful to this sponsor, my first sponsor, because she basically said, "We're moving." She said, "It's a race. The disease is a race, and the steps are the antidote to what you need for your. The disease is going to try to get you, and the steps are the antidote. And you need to work the steps quickly. Even if we don't do them thoroughly the first time, you need to get them done, because if you don't, the disease will call you back." And I will tell you, it took me about 3 months to do my fourth step and about 4 or 5 months to do most of my ninth step. But in just a little over, so it took almost a year. But most of those steps were done really quickly. And I'm forever grateful to that sponsor who told me that. So I want to say, the program has helped me. I can't even begin to describe how my life has changed. I went from a very fear-filled person who cared what everybody thought all the time to someone who today has strategies and skills and tools and fellowship and has a new experience about what life is like and what life is supposed to be. And for me, as again, I am so I my I will tell you, my home meeting, my face-to-face meeting, which I started in going to in 2010, was a big book meeting. And so that meeting, read the it, we're all compulsive readers sitting in there, but the text that we use, that guidebook that I grew up thinking, why are all these people thin, and where did they get the instruction manual for being thin? That AA big book is really the instruction manual. So I'm deeply, deeply blessed that that's my was my home meeting. But it tells us that in recovery, our higher powers, either God either is or he isn't. What is my choice to be? And as somebody who had absolutely no interest in religion, or slash what I thought was all everything, spirituality, religion, the book changed my life because it said, you have, we take it easy, we do not struggle. And God either is or he isn't. And I can tell you that the transformations that I experienced, which is to be able to say love and service are the most important things in my life today. And that is by my, that is because I show up at meetings, I sponsor, I have a sponsor, and I hear from all of you the experiences that you have that tell me that I'm on the right track. So I want to tell you a little bit about my experience with an article about, I guess it's about a year ago, and a sponsee sent this to me first, and then I started seeing it in different places. But it was an article on emotional sobriety by Bill W. And it's a 2.5, 2 or 3 page article that he wrote about spiritual emotional dependencies. And for me, what stuck out was faulty emotional dependencies. So just because I say that I have, this understanding now that of love and service, it does not mean that I don't fall back into this, one of my sponsees calls it victim mode, where I am, the things are happening to me instead of for me. But the article goes on to say when something is wrong, when I'm disturbed, it is because there is something wrong with my fit spiritual condition. And for me, I now know that. I now know that, I would say it's a little bit of a growth spurt for me in this program to say, okay, there's a trigger. And I'll give you a really good example. So for me, so I work in an organization that is pretty demand, as many of us do, that is pretty demanding. And so for several years now, been getting emails from my boss at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. So that's just the MO, right? And when I wake up, I get these emails which have now been sitting for a few hours. And I think to myself, oh my gosh, I haven't responded. This email's been in my inbox. Here he is. He's trying to, he's getting all this work done. And the story, these interesting stories I tell myself is that I'm not responding fast enough. And I worked really hard to sort of say, okay, it's that's his issue, not my issue. And then somebody shared with me a couple of weeks ago, Linda, your boss has really severe with insomnia. And my whole attitude toward this experience totally shifted to, there's so much more out there that I am not aware of, except for my own little world, that I need to really focus on, accepting people for who they are, what they say, and what they do. And there's always another part of the story that I don't understand. So I, again, when there's something wrong with me, the opportunity is still more spiritual growth and to look at a situation in a way that is not necessarily what I expect it to be. The other thing I will tell you that has helped me so much in emotional sobriety is this two-way prayer, which I know most of you have heard of. But I do find it amazing the things that come back when I pose a question to my higher power, and my higher power writes back to me and says, this is what you need to know today. This is what you are ready to hear. And the insights. So if you haven't done that yet, I highly, highly advocate for that. And I find also that, for me, I have one of my sponsees always says to me, she has to clear the channel. She's always working on her 11th step, which I support, and she's got to clear that channel with her higher power. And for me, how that happens is usually getting very, very quiet. I find that as I age in this program, as I spend more time here, and think about what the priorities are for my program every day, it is more quiet time. Sometimes I get up as I did this morning, a little after 4, and get outside and walk the dog, because outside and it's dark and most of the houses are dark. It is just incredibly peaceful and incredibly quiet. And at that point, sometimes the stars are out, and I think to myself, there is something greater than me, than all of us, and I can connect with that. And it just, I will tell you, for my day, it just settles me down. And I will, there is a moment I woke up, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and said to my sponsor, I didn't feel this connection with a higher power. And I said to her, I said, it's like you, it's almost like you, I plugged a light, a lamp, the plug into the outlet, and I didn't feel anything. And she says, don't worry, just keep doing what you're doing and it'll come back. If you feel disconnected from a higher power, she said, keep going through the motions and it will come back. And she was absolutely right. The other thing, for a long time, I will tell you that I did have a pretty, and I've touched on this a couple of times, a pretty severe inner critic. And now when that inner, it doesn't mean that inner critic is gone, largely shows up around work. But what I say to myself is, thank God you can feel these emotions, because when you were totally comatose with food, you couldn't feel anything. And so earlier this week, I started writing, okay, what am I feeling? I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling tense. I'm feeling these words. What am I feeling? And I want to pay attention to that so that I can say, is there evidence? What is the cause? What am I feeling? And is it true that I am catastrophizing a situation? So I will, my disease wants to, I will, my disease wants to tell me that I'm going to lose my job over some trivial mistake and I'm going to be on the streets. That is the, it's like a three-step process: mistake, lose job, on the streets. But I am grateful that I know that that's what my disease does. And I am grateful that I can say, what is the evidence that any of this is true? And when I sit there long enough, I say, oh yeah, thanks for sharing disease. I got, I can't sweep it under the rug because it's part of who I am, and I accept that. And I do accept that that is probably always going to be an element of what I experience as an addict and a person whose brain is set, is the way mine is. But for me, it's not that I necessarily will, I will get faster. I get faster at recognizing when it's trying to take me off course. So I will say, I do a 10 step every night. I work really hard to stay connected to the fellows. Oh, I've got one more for you. So this is,
5 minutes.
thank you. So a couple weeks ago, there was this email that said, I got it at work. It popped up on my email, and it said, your email account is about to, you're about to lose access to your email. Clear your cache immediately. Make sure you do. And I bought, look, hook, line, and sinker, I clicked on it, right? It was urgent. You're going to lose access to your email. I clicked on it. And thank God it was my company trying to, teach me that October was cybersecurity month. And what I love about the experience and why I tell you that is because I was like, oh, huh. Okay. Wow. Good for the person who designed that little experience because it worked. Instead of being, insanely crazy that, they were going to, that I was going to go on this list of people who made this mistake. So I want to end with telling you a little bit about my daily routine, because I would describe myself as pretty structured. It's how my brain keeps quiet. I get up every morning. I say, thank you, God, for the gift of another day. I say the prayers, and usually they're the standard, third step prayer, 11 step prayer. Read and write sometimes for 5 minutes, just to read some piece of literature, write something down, even if it's a gratitude list. I said, I walk the dog. I get to the gym often, 5, 6 days a week. So I commute into the office 3 times a week, and I do phone calls with sponsees, sponsee calls, meetings, literature, podcasts, all of that. And then I won't have time to show the stickies, but the post-it notes that I have around me when I work from home say things, here's, they say, do not take anything personally. Do not take anything personally. When I have a tough conversation, I say, what does service to this person look like? So before I get on the phone with somebody, I find really, what does service to this person look like? And it just grounds me. I have one that says, you are so much more than the work that you are paid to do. And then the last one that I have, I can look at, is the present moment is all that I ever have. The present moment. It's not the past. It's not catastrophizing or planning the future. It is right now. So I will tell you, food plan, weigh and measure, clothes. I get the clothes ready for the week every weekend. It's a lot of work. I want to end with this. This program is a lot of work. It is not a breeze. But I call it my part-time job. But I'll tell you, it is incredibly, it's an incredible gift to share fellowship and to hear people in these meetings share how they work their programs. Because I can pick up things and try them and see if they work for me. And I will tell you, I'll end on this. I absolutely, through service, love and service, I do live a life beyond my wildest dreams. It ain't perfect, and I screw up and I mess up, but I have, my sponsor says, we get back on the path. So thank you all so much for being here, from keeping this meeting going and safe. And I am deeply blessed to be here. Thank you for letting me share.